Today is like a kind of a one and done. I'm not doing a series today. I'm talking about being a healthy church. Next week, I want to encourage you because I'm going to start a series through the book of Romans, and we will be in it probably for about 3 months. I'm just warning you now because we're going to get in and kind of devour the book of Romans. Amen. How many of you guys like that book? It's a good one. Sometimes I do series that are topics, and sometimes we go through books. I just really feel like the Lord is leading in that area. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff in Romans, I don't want to get a head start on that. But today we are actually kicking off kind of a new season. How many of you know, did you look at your weather app and see that fall's coming this next week? Right? It's going to be in the 80s and then the 70s later on. Can we just take a moment and thank the Lord again? I know some of you guys like summer, but how many of your favorite season is fall? Anybody? Yeah, it's so nice. It's so pretty. It's so much cooler. Thank you, Jesus. But, you know, as a church, it's like school has started. Summer is officially over. Most vacations are probably wrapped up. I mean, you might get one here or there still. But as a church, it's really kind of a new season for us. And I think we're going to be looking at, let me just say, I've been in the ministry for a long time, and for years they've always talked about church growth. How many of you guys have heard about that? They got a billion books out there on church growth. Let me just say this. A church can grow and become big, but how many of you know that doesn't mean it's healthy?
That's right.
It doesn't mean that. There are sick and unhealthy churches that have large attendance. Anybody ever hear you can be a mile wide and an inch deep? All right, but there are also mid-sized churches, there's small churches that can be unhealthy. So what I want to kind of get the first point across is that size does not determine a healthy church. Whether it's big, small, medium, there are healthy churches in every size, and there are unhealthy churches in every size. But one thing that I have come to believe and over the years is don't focus on church health, but church growth. Let me get my mouth in order. So here. Church health is what we need to focus on. Anyway, I'm getting off track. All healthy things grow. How many of you guys believe that? If something is healthy, it's going to grow. So this is important. I've talked about this. If you guys have been coming here for quite a while, you've heard me talk and share this sermon at one point or another. It's something I like to cover at least once a year, because it's so important. And like I said, I don't want to focus on growth. I want to focus on health. And what does that look like? How many of you are surprised to hear this phrase right here? Freedom Church is not a perfect church. I know, shocked. How come? It's because there's flawed human beings here. And so it's not going to, but I want to tell you, our goal as a church is to be a healthy church. To find out, okay, where is there, you know, if you've got cancer in your body, how many of you know you want to deal with it? You want to make sure that that's dealt with. And so what we're going to look at is the book of Acts. We're going to look at chapter 2, verses 42 through 46, because the early church really, I believe, was a model of what a healthy church looked like. Now, they weren't perfect either, but I believe that they started out in the right way, functioning the right way. And like I said, I think it's important for us to hear that. If you've heard this before, you're like, oh, Pastor Scott, I've heard you share this again. Maybe there's a reason, because we all need to refocus on that. Amen. So I'm going to give you 12-point sermon today, but the points are pretty brief and quick, and give you just 12 signs of what a healthy church looks like. And I'm going to start out with Acts 2:42. It says that they devoted themselves to the apostles, what?
Teaching.
Teaching, right? Teaching is important. And so number one in your notes, a healthy church is a learning church. I mean, I asked this to the first service, and anybody already got it all figured out?
No.
We're all still growing, am I right? So we all should be learning still. Let me just say, I'm still learning. I don't have it all figured out. Listen, our goal as a church is to take the things that the Bible says, to actually learn it, and not just learn it. How many of you know we've got to actually apply it to our lives? Amen. If you don't apply it, you know, Jesus told a parable about the wise and the foolish man. The foolish person heard the word of the Lord, learned it, but he didn't actually do it. And it says that when the storms of life came, that he basically crashed. And that happens to a lot of people that love God. They know the Bible. They could probably play you in Bible trivia and win because they know it, but they never actually applied it. And so we are a church that not just talks about it. And let me just say this as well. We're not a church that's going to avoid the uncomfortable scriptures. Amen. Like if you've been coming here for a while, sometimes we talk about things that are not very comfortable. And listen, that's important. We have to do that. Listen, some churches avoid uncomfortable scriptures because they're more concerned with keeping people happy than they are teaching the whole counsel of God.
Amen.
Amen. All right. I've got an amen out of it. Thank you, Jeff. So I got an amen out of that. And scripture has got to be our guide. It really does, because there's not politics. I mean, you know, politics is not our guide. All right. Our preferences. Oh, this is what I like. That's not our guide. Our opinions and everybody. How many of you guys got an opinion? All right. I know more of you guys. I've heard it. So we all have opinions. You know, even the hottest topic, let me tell you, if you're on the internet, how many of you know there are trending church topics that people get in? So I just want to caution you that whoever your favorite YouTube prophet, pastor, teacher may be careful. Make sure that what they're teaching is actually scriptural and not just something, because I think most of you guys know this, the more likes and clicks a YouTube person gets, how many of you know they actually get money for that? All right, they get paid for that, and so there are some outlandish things that are out there, and it gets a lot of people watching it, a lot of people clicking it, and here's the problem with that. If they're not really connected to other people, there's no accountability.
Right.
You can get out there and say whatever you want, and here's the thing. There's a lot of Christians that are gullible and will listen and say, oh, yeah, and I know maybe some of you are thinking, we're on YouTube, so maybe I'm one of those weird YouTube pastors. I don't know, but... No, I'm not. Because that's not our main... YouTube is not our main ministry. How many of you know Freedom Church is? All right? There are people that watch. There's probably people watching right now, and we're thankful that you're online. But there is accountability here. Amen? I'm not, you know, just some rogue person that goes off. So I don't want to spend too much time on that. Because here's the thing. The Bible is our guidebook for living. It really is. If it's not scripture, then we need to stay away from it. And let me just say, over the last few years, that statement has become polarizing because there's pressure to spend less time in the scripture and more time on opinions and politics. All right? More time on that. And let me just say, I have a political opinions. Let me just tell you that. How many of you are surprised by that? But I don't always share that because my opinions don't change lives. Right, my opinions don't transform people's future. My opinions don't heal broken hearts. And so we have to make sure that what I stand on is God's word. Now listen, in conversation, I will definitely share with you my opinions on some of that. But from the pulpit, and I've told people this before, we came from Central Texas, and how many of you know that's a very conservative area there? And I remember as we were getting ready to come to California, and let me tell you, every Texan thinks Californian's evil, and it's like you're going to the evil place, and everybody says this is what the Texans believe about California: the earthquakes are going to shake it and cause it to fall into the ocean. And I had that thought until we moved here, and I realized the earthquakes aren't the problem; it's the fires. Isn't the fires a bigger deal than the earthquakes? Yeah, so anyway, totally got off track there. Anyway, so this guy, one of his parting words, he says, hey, go out there and make a bunch of Republicans out of them. All right, that was what his word was. And I have, some of you guys have heard me say that. I said, you know what? I'll let God deal with their politics. We're going to preach Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're going to talk about Jesus and let him deal with that. And let me just say, other times I've heard people say, well, you know what? The Bible, yeah, it's important, but we don't really need it. We just need the Holy Spirit, right? If I just had the Holy Spirit, then everything's going to be okay. Yes, we need the Holy Spirit. How many of you know the Holy Spirit has been moving? But I want to tell you that you realize there's other spirits out there other than the Holy Spirit. And there are demonic spirits that will mock the Holy Spirit, that if you're not grounded in this right here, they will teach you and they will lead you in directions that are not good. And you're just like, you know, like back in the 60s, I'm just following the Holy Spirit, right? You know, light up some incense candles and go with it. No, we got to be grounded. We got to be grounded in God's Word. The Holy Spirit will never contradict this. But how many of you know, if you don't know what this says, you don't know if it's true or not. So we got to know the Word. It is our guidebook. Our purpose as a church is not just to have, you know, great feel-good services. Our goal as a church is to develop lifelong followers of Jesus. Can I tell you, I've got grandkids that are at this church. I don't want them just to grow up, oh yeah, I know about church, and then high school or college all of a sudden leave the faith. Right? We want to see them grow up, and so we will challenge them in all areas. And we want this church to be that kind of church. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So the next part, Acts 2:42, it says they devoted themselves to the apostle teaching and to fellowship. Amen. And where's Christina? I'm going to have Christina come up. She heads up our life group ministry. This is important. So number two in your notes, yeah, you can give her a hand as she comes. Oh, so you can fill that in. A healthy church is a loving church.
All right. Well, good morning, everybody. So a question for you is, has anybody here ever had a need? If you've ever had a need, let's raise your hand. Ever had a need? A need for something. Now, for those of us who have our hands raised, are you good at sharing your needs with people? I know I'm not so good at sharing when I have a need, depending on what it is, especially, right? One of the things that, as I've been kind of speaking with some of the life group leaders, we're getting ready to kick off kind of our next series of life groups, our fall series. And I've been asking the life group leaders, as we think about fellowship, give me some examples of your groups and how do you fellowship as a group? And one of the things that Robert mentioned that I really liked is he said, I feel like those life groups have given me an opportunity to feel like I'm doing life with people, as opposed to just coming in on a Sunday, saying hi, getting a hug, and then leaving. You're actually getting to do life with people. You're getting to share things with people that you wouldn't normally share just coming and going on a Sunday. You're getting to share, you know, where you've got some hurts, where you've got some needs, where you've got some just things that are troubling you, where you need some support, where you need some encouragement. But also just from a practical standpoint, right? Fellowship is really, if we're going to do life with each other, you know, we've heard stories of people who have given others rides to a doctor's appointment, for instance, you know, just as simple as getting a ride to a doctor's appointment or getting a ride to and from the airport, or I ran out of wood for this winter season and hey, I've got some that I can share with you, right? So it's really learning how to do life together. And one of the things that I liked in Acts is Acts 32 says, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions were their own, but they shared everything that they had. So one of the things that I've appreciated about just our life groups is that when you are in need, yes, you can always call the church and you can say, hey, I have a need. But if you've got a group of people that rally around you, normally we ask our family first. Hey, family, I have a need. But if that life group relationship can build, can go deep enough that we feel like those people are a family, then when we have a need, we can say, hey, I'm going to call somebody because I have a need. Even if that need is just, I need prayer, or that need is, I need a ride, or that need is, I need some encouragement. I'm really down today and I don't know why. Can somebody, you know, just give me a word of encouragement? So I just want to encourage you all as we're thinking about kicking off life groups that, you know, if you haven't had an opportunity to be a part of one, we would really love for you to try it. And let's get deeper in fellowship. So.
Amen. Amen. And this is, as she was sitting there talking, say, you know what, I have a need. How many of you know, you may be, you're like, well, I'm good. I don't have any needs right there. But God may want to use you to meet somebody else's need.
Yeah. That's right.
Amen. And when you're not connected, when you're not really in relationship with other people, then nobody's going to come to you. I mean, that's just the reality. It's like, well, you know what, I mean, most of us don't want to inconvenience somebody else. Isn't that right? I mean, some of you guys are okay with that, but most of us... Most of us don't want to do that, right? But it, like she was saying, when you have that relationship, and I love the word fellowship, let me back up to that, is the Greek word koinonia, and it says close, the definition, close mutual association, right? More than, oh yeah, I know your name. Well, what was that person's name? I don't know. But it's sharing and participating. Let me tell you, the Christian journey is not meant to walk alone. God has never called you to walk alone. The reality is we need each other, even if you don't feel it. Do you need each other to make it to heaven? No. You need Jesus for that, right? But we need each other because this is the feeling in your notes. We must build healthy relationships. I mean, let's be honest. We all got enough unhealthy relationships in our life. We need a place where we can have some healthy relationships that we can lean and that we can learn from each other and be encouraging to each other. So that was the early church. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Now, how many of you guys like bread? But and prayer, that's an important thing. So number three in your notes is a healthy church is a praying church. Right? And you might be like, well, duh, don't all churches pray? Well, probably, but maybe not always. It may not be a main focus. I'm just telling you. And here's the reality. We connect with God through our worship and through our prayer. Amen. Right? We can have healthy relationships with each other, but if we don't have our vertical relationship right, how many of you know there's a problem? Worship and prayer is how we kick. And it, like I said, it does amaze me how many churches don't have a time where they come together to pray. You know, after service or towards the end, a lot of times we have prayer up here. We may not do it every week, but every Thursday we have prayer from 7 to 8. And I know not everybody can make it, but I think on the average, we have anywhere from 8. We've had 15. We've had more than that there. But corporate prayer is so important. And every Thursday, 7 to 8, Pastor Colleen leads that. And you know, we develop relationships in the midst of that. Those of you that come, do we not? It's like, I know the needs of the people that come, and we pray for those on a regular basis. We pray for other needs as well, but I think when our corporate prayer, more that it grows, I believe the more the church grows. Because there's more connection right there, amen? Next part of the verse, verse 43, everybody was filled with... I knew that y'all say that. That's what the dentist says to you, right? Isn't that right? Where's John at? Open up and say what? Right. That's not the kind of awe I'm talking about. It's awe of what God is doing, right? We should be in awe of the things that God is doing because God is on the move. I don't know about you, but this morning, I'm just in awe of what God is doing up here. That I don't know if you guys realize that or not, but all of those songs, and Soul knows it running back there, those songs were not all on the list today. They're like back there having to type in lists because the Holy Spirit was moving and touching people's lives. And, you know, I'm glad. Can I just say I'm glad we're not a church that is so, like, programmed. Oh, this is what we're doing, all of that. But we leave room for the Holy Spirit to move. Amen. And I'm okay with whatever God wants to do. I'm in awe of that. And so number four is a church that is a healthy church is a humble church. And I love that people love our church, your church, Freedom Church. People invite people, encourage people, even got the shirt to prove it, right? Freedom Church. So, but I hope that the most thing that people talk about is God. Yeah. That we talk about what God is doing. You know, not, oh, you know, oh, you ought to come hear our pastor. Oh, you ought to come hear our worship team. That's okay, but let me tell you, if there's anything good that's going on here, how many of you know it's because of God? Amen. It's not because I'm super talented, because Lord knows I'm not. It's not because of the things that we offer God whatever we got, and He takes that little bit. Amen. Amen. It is the Holy Spirit. If we're going to boast about anything as a church, we need to boast in the Lord. Amen. A couple of verses that Paul said, 1 Corinthians 1. He goes, as it is written, let him who boasts, we're going to boast in who? The Lord. So talk about when you're talking about and trying to invite, hey, listen, God is moving. God is doing this. Focus it all on Him. Galatians, he says this, as for me, may I never boast about anything except for the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me just say, we're in a culture today. I mean, we all know some narcissists, am I right? How many of you guys know somebody? It's all about me, me, me. They can't stop talking about themselves. Let me just say this, that some church cultures kind of develop a narcissistic spirit as well, where they are the only ones. We're the right church. You got to come to us. You know, all of those other churches, you know, this drives me crazy. Nobody else preaches this but us, right? We're the only ones that are doing this. How many of you know God's doing a lot in a lot of churches around here? We are not the only church where God is moving. And I thank God for that. Can you imagine how sad that would be? Right? I'm glad God is moving in other churches. It's not about us. It's always about Him. And we've got to make our speech about what God is doing. And if somebody's going there, I'll never... Well, okay, I'm going to get off. Let me move on. So I've noticed... Anybody ever notice the older you get, the more rabbits you can chase? Right? So I was about to chase one that had nothing to do with where I was going anyway. Verse 43... Everybody was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. So I believe, number five, a healthy church is a supernatural church. Amen. I believe that God still heals. Anybody, you believe that God, supernaturally, God still moves. God is still working miracles today. And let me tell you, I could have pulled out several people here that have had miraculous healings that was not explained by, I took an aspirin and my headache went away. God is still doing miracles today. And listen, we allow the Holy Spirit to do it. That's why it's not like, you know what, Pastor Colleen, that wasn't really planned. You know, that wasn't planned for you to come up and say that. That's okay, because we want the Holy Spirit to move. Amen. Can I give you some other miracles that maybe you don't think about? How many of you know when an addict is set free? That's a miracle. Amen. 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 Yeah, we can give the Lord... Listen, when God provides for you financially in a way that can't be described any other way, how many of you know that's a miracle, amen. Right? When He heals you in a way that is not typical, I believe that's a miracle. And let me just say this. When we do pray, I don't care if the doctor says you got 24 hours and you're going to die, right? It's that bad. You got stage 48, whatever, you know. Can I tell you, as long as you are... Sorry, as long as you're on this side of heaven, I want to tell you, we're going to believe for a miracle. Amen. 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 If Jesus can heal a dead person, let me tell you, nothing looks more grim than when you're already dead. All right? Like, hey, things aren't looking good for you. But if Jesus can raise the dead, how many of you know we can believe for a miracle? Yes. We're not going to come up and like, things aren't looking, well, Lord, if it be thy will... Let me tell you, that is not a part of my prayer. We say, Jesus, we believe in healing. And Lord, we begin to pray that. And listen, the answer's on Jesus. It's not on me, right? I can't heal anybody, but we know the one that can, amen? Here's another miracle. When a marriage is restored, amen. When somebody that is contemplating suicide is delivered and decides to follow Jesus, let me tell you, friends, that's a miracle. Amen. When somebody has a bad attitude, and nobody's ever had a bad attitude here, right? How many of you know when God can change your bad attitude into a good attitude, that's a miracle. Amen. When a greedy person becomes a giving person, that's God working in somebody's heart. When a person that has struggled with depression is set free and finds joy in life, because how many of you, maybe you've struggled with it or you know somebody, counseling does not work when somebody's really in heavy depression. You can talk till you're blue in the face, but God knows how to deliver that. That's a miracle, amen? And let me just say, from a pastor's perspective, when a gossip turns to becomes an encourager, that's a miracle. We're like, hallelujah, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Greatest miracle is the miracle that stops heaven and causes all of heaven to rejoice is when one sinner turns and gives their life to the Lord. Amen. We believe that God's supernatural power is really in response to our hunger. Amen. I hope you catch that. If we don't expect God to do anything, most likely that's what you're going to get. There's this thing called faith. And so I want to encourage you guys, because Pastor Colleen and I, we do this every week. For 3 decades, we pray on our way, and we pray and we say, God, show up, do miracles, heal, give people a word, encourage them, whatever. We want to see God do what God does. Amen. So my encouragement to you is on your way to church, you know, and don't raise your hand if you ever argue on the way to church with your spouse, but it has happened. Instead, turn to prayer and say, God, we're on our way to church. There's going to be people there. And Lord, I pray that you show up and do what only you can do. Amen. That'll solve your arguing right there. It did for us years ago. Anyway, something else in that passage. How many of you know that miracles and all that stuff, it's not just for a few people. God works through all of us. God, the early church worked together. It wasn't like there was this rogue faction doing this and then this one was doing that. Can I talk for just a minute with the things that divide a church that cause division is when, like as pastors, we have a vision for, and we got to hear from God, and somebody else says, you know what? I think we ought to be doing this. I think that this is more important, and it may be a good thing. Division is not necessarily this group has evil plans. Nobody really has the desire to divide a church. Anybody been in a church that's been divisive? How many of you know that's yucky? But what happens is that there's other people, well, we ought to do this. No, we ought to do this. And this other group, the word itself, division, if you take the prefix DI, how many of you know that's like two or more? Yeah. Two or more visions that are going on at the same time. You can't do everything. You can't row a boat in two different directions, right? You ever been in a canoe and you try to row and the other people are rowing the other way? All you end up doing is going around in circles, right? It's like you got to work together. So that's what that looks like. The word itself, division, is to dissent or to stand apart. Oh, yeah, pastor, they're not doing this and they're not doing that. Let me tell you, there's probably a lot of things we're not doing, right? I don't know if you know this or not, but I can't do everything. And even as a church, we can't do everything, but let's do the things that we do and let's do it with excellence. Amen? Amen. Here's the thing. Everything is better in teams. When we begin to operate as a team, how many of you know it makes all the difference in the world? When we get behind and we begin to do the same thing, I was reading just in my devotion this morning, and let me pull it up real quick. I was in Ezra chapter 3, and I thought this was so good. It was talking about the rebuilding of the temple, and there was opposition to Israel rebuilding the temple, and it's Ezra chapter 3. It says verse 1, in early autumn, when the Israelites had settled in the towns, all the people assembled in Jerusalem, and I love this, with a unified purpose. All the opposition that came against them, they couldn't stop them because they came together with a unified purpose. And I believe that is so important. Acts 2:44, it says all the believers were what? Together. And they had everything in common. Listen, together is such a powerful thing for us to understand. The church had such a sense of unity, so much that they shared everything that they had. And that's number 6. A healthy church is a unified church. Like, hey, listen, let's get on the same team. Amen. Let's go in the same direction. Let's do what God is calling. And I believe that God uses a church that is in unity in amazing ways. Amen. And let me just pause here, because over the last few years, like I said earlier, opinions have caused people to lose friendships. How many of you've lost friends because of your opinion or their opinion? If you don't agree with me, then I don't want to talk to you. I'm going to defriend you on Facebook. Right? I mean, this is a real thing. Even to the point that if you don't agree with my opinion, then I'm going to question your walk with the Lord. You don't even have a relationship with God if you don't believe the way my opinion. How many of you know that's not good? Christians have different opinions. And so we have to be careful and realize that unity is not uniformity. Right? Everybody doesn't have... Well, let me just put it this way. If everybody looks the same, acts the same, talks the same, votes the same, wears the same little outfit, shares the same opinions, how many of you know that's a good sign you're in a cult? Right. I mean, think about it. It's real. God's family should embrace our differences. Right? We rally around the cross of Christ, not an opinion. Yes. Amen? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Jesus is the one that we center our life on. And when people don't act like, look like, talk like others in their church, and we cast them out because they're not like us, that's something that we got rid of, I thought, in this country a while back, and that's called segregation. right? We don't push other people out. We want to have a church that is unified, that is on the same sheet and coming together. That's God's desire, is that we come together and we stay together.
Amen.
Amen. Let me just say, unity is difficult at times, isn't it? I mean, let me just say, the longer you've been at a place, well, let me just say, those of you that have been here a while, have you ever had somebody offend you at this church right here? Come on, my hand's up, and I'm not doing it just, right? I've had some people say some stuff before, and it's like, you know? And the longer you've been here, not only has somebody maybe offended you, you probably offended them, right? Maybe you said something, and sometimes things come out of our mouth. Don't you, you know, the book of James talks about that. You know, if I could just control this mouth, there's sometimes things come out, and it's like, I should have thought before I said that. Amen? Anybody ever have a word coming, you can see it going, and you're like, can I grab it back, right? It's kind of like when you send that email, it's gone, right? I think you can unsend some of those things now, right? But I don't know. You can't do it with your words. It's gone, right? So here's the thing. Because offense happens, because we do things, say things, act like things, we have to, the key to unity is to resolve conflict biblically. Amen? What does that mean? What does that look like? Like if you have a problem with somebody else, that means you go to them only and first, right? That doesn't mean like, oh, so-and-so was saying that. Oh, I'm just trying to find somebody to pick on. I did Nancy in the first service, but Beth, oh my goodness, that Beth, let me tell you what she did. You know, she said this and she said that, and we start spreading it around instead of doing what the Bible says and go to them. So let me just say, if you think, if somebody comes to you and says, oh, Pastor Colleen and Pastor Scott, they have something against you. Don't believe that. Because that's a lie, because if you haven't heard it from us, I guarantee they haven't heard that. Because we're going to go first and take care of it. And listen, if you realize you've offended somebody else, it's still your responsibility to go to them. Whether they offended you, it's always on you, right? You can't just sit around, well, they offended me and they're not coming to me. No, go make it right. We want to do it biblically because the unity is something that we need to hang on to. We need to love each other enough, address the issues, and stay current in our relationships. Don't allow those things to divide us. Amen? I could spend more time on that. Acts 2:45, selling their possessions and goods they gave to anybody that has need. And that's number 7. A healthy church is a generous church made up of generous people. Amen? And it's not, here's the thing. Some people, well, I don't really have that much. It's really not about what you have, how much you have. It's about what you do with what you do have. Does that make sense? Because generosity is not just always about money. It might be that. It might be that. But how many of you know it's also time?
Yes.
You can be generous with your time. Like Christina was talking about driving somebody to the airport. Like, does anybody like, you know, here driving to the airport in Sacramento through rush hour traffic?
No.
Yeah, Robert, your hand was up. Yeah. Several people rose their, I hate that, right? But I will drive somebody there. We've driven our kids there to the airport. They've driven us to the airport. And listen, when you have a healthy church, there will be people that will drive you there, right? Instead of spending an arm and a leg to park your car there for however long. And so being generous with your time, being generous with your attention, giving people the time of day, listen, that's so important. Because so many times we're rush, rush, rush. Hey, do you got time to talk? No, sorry, not today, not ever. No, so. That's not a good thing, right? We need to be generous. So, that was number 7. Acts 2:46, every day they continue to meet together in the temple courts. And number 8, a healthy church is a committed church. I almost was afraid to say that because you know the word commitment today is actually a curse word. No, I'm kidding, but people act like it, right? Saw a couple of your guys' faces. What are you talking about? Nobody wants to commit to nothing. That's good English right there, right? No, oh, don't put my name, oh, you know, if I can make it, I can make it, but don't put my name down. I'm not committing to anything. Let me just say, they didn't just come together occasionally. And listen, we've talked about this, but having a healthy church is not made up of occasional attenders. Isn't that true? And I know our current culture, and I think especially since COVID, I think it made it even worse. Like, you know what? Be there that often? I mean, the early church met every day. Could you imagine what would be different in your life? And I'm not talking to anybody specifically, but if you said, you know what? I'm 100% committed to what God is doing at Freedom Church. Can you imagine what it would look like here? I mean, I think of, our kids ministry. It's like sometimes Pastor Colleen's struggling to get somebody in there. And it's like, if everybody was committed, it's like, oh yeah, I'll do that. I'll do that. I'll do that. If we were all committed to the things that God wants to do here, let me tell you, it would change your life. It would change the church. And here's the thing. If we had everybody showed up from first and second service, I'm guesstimating here, on the average, we've been running 120, 130. But if everybody was here on the same Sunday, we would probably be 150, 160 people or so. I mean, praise God for that. And you're like, well, why are you sharing that? Because how many of you realize we're in the upper room when the Holy Spirit was poured out? There were 120. And I love what the scripture says about, that starting with that 120, later on in the books of Acts, it says these people have turned the known world upside down. How many of you know when God gets a group of committed people that are like, God, whatever you want to do, God can change a community. Amen. God can change the world as a result of that. And I know we live in a world where there's so many things that compete for first place in our lives. And we just completed the series on the Ten Commandments, so I'm not going to go back over Commandment 4, but I think it's important for us to say, hey, listen, I got to get committed. I got to be committed to what God is doing. I believe a healthy church is made up of healthy Christians. Amen? Amen. The more committed we are as a follower of Christ, the healthier we're going to be as a believer. Yeah. Right? Not just for the church health. How many for us? If I'm not committed to God's word, and I just like occasionally flip through it, you know what? Doesn't mean you're not going to heaven, but I'll tell you what, you're not going to be growing, right? You're not going to be growing. If you just kind of occasionally make it to church, you know what? As long as your laundry's done, dishes are good and the lawn's mowed. If you just kind of make it occasionally, I'm going to tell you, you can still make it to heaven, but it doesn't mean you're going to be growing. Right? We want to be healthy believers, right? At a time when people need more joy and hope in their lives, people are walking away from the very thing that will give that to them. Yeah. The people of God, right? God's presence. So here's the thing. You may not realize we are instilling priorities in our kids that maybe later on we will regret. Ouch, right? We're planting seeds now, and we may not like what the harvest looks like. And let me just say, later when your kids or grandkids don't want to come to church, don't blame the pastor or that youth pastor. Oh, that youth pastor, right? No, we may need to look at the seeds that we planted in our life, right? So be careful, because we do reap what we sow, amen? And we need each other. So let me move on. I know some of you guys didn't like that point, so let's move on to verse 46 here. They followed the daily disciple of worship in the temple, followed by meals at home. Every meal, this is out of the Message, was a celebration, exuberant, and joyful. So at this point, I got it in here for a reason. A healthy church should be a fun church. How many of you know it's okay to laugh in church? Anybody ever been to a church and you felt like you went to a funeral? I saw a few hands. I was like, I could go on that one right there. It is okay. Where's Robert at? There. He's the one that, he brings the fun, right? So that's his middle name. If you missed last Sunday, he started the service off. It didn't get on the video. What did you say? Yeah. Like, it was so somber in here, and it was like echoed across, and like live stream is getting started. It was like, some people may get worked up. We just kind of laughed about it. Right? You can have fun in church. It's okay. We're going to laugh together. How many of you know that's biblical? Yeah. Sometimes we're going to cry together, because that's what family does. That's what family does. Let me just say this. If you're against fun, then you're going to be miserable here. I'm just telling you, you're going to be miserable. And it's interesting. I believe that when the world gets more difficult, some people think the church ought to be more intense. Right, we ought to be. They struggle because we feel the weight of this world. Do you not? Yeah. I mean, with political season on us, it's like we feel the weight and we feel the pressure that's going on. And sometimes people struggle with the kids running around. Now, let me just say, we have not heard this at this church, but there, we have been at other churches where we were at, and a couple of people were offended because the kids were running around and having fun. And they're like, those kids shouldn't be running around. This is the house of God. This is the house of God. What are those kids doing? Let me just ask, where do you want those kids to be running around? Amen? They should be here. Christians are not supposed to be boring. Amen? There should be a law about making the most exciting book in the world sound like the most boring book in the world. All right? I believe that because God is not a boring God. I mean, all you got to do is read this thing, and it's like, I mean, there's humor in God's word. Right? And there's seriousness in God's word. There's everything. And let me just say, there is a time for seriousness. There's a time for that. But there's got to be times where we can actually laugh, right? Where we're not weighed down. And, some people, well, I'm a serious person. I don't think you should have that kind of fun. Let me just say, don't worry. I understand that. Because when it comes down to it, we're still going to boldly invite people into a relationship with Jesus. Amen. In the midst of all of that, I think that's a good thing. So let me move on. Acts 2:47, praising God. That's just the beginning of it. Number 10, a healthy church is a worshiping church. And I am so glad that you guys like worshiping Him. Amen. We've been in situations where people were singing a song, but there was no worship going on. Right? It's like you just wanted to pull out the campfire and roast marshmallows or something because it was a campfire song going on. Worship. How many of you know we're not here to sing songs? Some people refer to that all the singing time, right? It is not the singing time. It is worship time. Amen? There's different. It's so important to God that God actually said this, that I will inhabit the praises of my people. Do you realize that God builds a throne where worship is going on? If we're just singing songs, God's like, I don't got time for that. Right? If we're just like, oh man, that's my favorite song. I can't wait to sing that. That's not what God is looking for. And let me just say this. I remember, going to church as a teenager. I wasn't really used to it. I'd been periodically. But like the singing time, honestly, when I wasn't used to it, it was kind of weird. Right, like, what are they all singing about? Why are people raising their hand? I didn't really get it. And it wasn't until I really realized what was going on that it's like, oh man, I want to enter into that. I want to begin to worship Him. Amen? Psalms 100, I'm going to read a whole Psalms to you real quick here. Psalms 100, verses 1 through 5. It says, shout to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with what? Gladness. Come before Him singing with joy. Amen? Acknowledge that the Lord is good. He made us. We are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Verse 4 says, enter His gates with thanksgiving. Go into His courts with praise. How many of you know that's how you get into the presence of God? Yes. Right? You enter in with thanksgiving and praise. That's like the key. You're looking for the key to enter into God's presence. It's worship. Amen. It's worship. That's how you get in. And it says, for the Lord is good. His failing love continues forever, and His faithfulness continues to each generation. Amen? Amen. So a healthy church is a worshiping church. Acts 2:47, and enjoying the favor of all the people. So number 11 is that a healthy church is an influential church. Amen? Amen? You can be influential and not have to be the biggest church around. Right? We need to influence our culture. We can't just hide out and with us four no more kind of attitude. Oh my goodness, the world is mean and they're evil and they don't know God. No, we go out into our world and we shine Jesus. Amen? And I believe that by being loving, caring, unified, being healthy. Let me tell you, there's not a lot of places like that in the world. So when people come in and they see people of all ages, all backgrounds, all diversity, working and loving together, that's weird for our world. And there's something attractive about it. That's why we do things like going to the county fair. Why do you guys go to the county fair? Because we want to love our community, right? We're there. We have our little fans that said, Jesus loves you on it. Yeah, we're not there just to try to build our church. We're there to love people. Amen. The Christmas drive-through that we'll start decorating in a couple of months here. Why do we do it? And I think this is our fourth year. Is that right? Fourth year doing it. Why are we doing stuff like that? Because, you know, we've had such good feedback. People come and we've had people say, listen, this has become our family tradition. And they come through and they hear the story, the real story of Christmas. We're not just giving them lights. They get to hear the whole story. They can listen in on the radio as they come through. And it's just a way of loving our community. The first responders lunch, listen, why don't we just give hamburgers? We can do that. No, we want to give them the best. We want to give them tri-tip sandwiches. And Rick makes them so amazing. So I just want to say that. But why do we do that? Because we want to show our community that we love them. Amen? There's more that we could do. I mean, the bigger you are, the more people, obviously, the more you can do. But I don't think size affects how we do what we can do. Amen. What you can do, again, like I said earlier, do it to the best. Love those people that you come in contact with. Amen. And the result of the previous 11 steps, and I believe the greatest part right here, verse 47, it says, and the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. How many of you know that's the bottom line? Number 12, a healthy church is an outward focused church. If we do all of those other 11 things, And we shut the door and we become an inward-focused church, how many of you know, we might as well shut the doors completely. Amen? We must prioritize others over ourselves. An outward-focused church is made up of outward-focused people. And I believe that the quickest way for a church to die is to become inward-focused. Oh, I like this. I like this song. I don't like it when they sing that song. I wish you would do church for me. Make it just about me. Listen, we refuse to become a church that focuses inward. I just want to tell you that. If everybody, think about this. If everybody that came to church was your age, looked like you, acted like you, your color, your race, how many, that would be boring, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
That would be boring. The kind of church, that's the kind of church that only lasts for one generation. They grow up, they die, and that's it, right? And it's like, well, like I said, I like the song. Let me tell you, I like being in a church where I have friends that are older than me. I like having a church where there's friends younger than me. I like being in a church where there's people the same age as me, right? God loves a diverse church. How many of you realize we're going to a diverse heaven?
Amen.
People from every race, every background, they're not going to sing the song you want to sing down here. Just want to tell you that. So we will celebrate and embrace our differences. Amen. I want to be at a part of church, like I said earlier, where my grandchildren will grow up and be challenged in the Word of God. Amen. And this morning there was some of you guys know John and Penny Vale, and she was coming up, and Levi, 4 years old, just run up and said, hi, Miss Penny, and gave her a big hug. Man, that's the church I want to be a part of, where all ages are loving, and we're not just like, the older you get, sometimes it's like you look at the younger generations, and I don't even know what it is, millennials, or what's younger than it? What's the next one?
Z.
Yeah, them Zs, they're catching too many Zs. Z, really? I'm so out of it, right? Or the younger generation looking at the older. Oh, yeah, you guys just don't know nothing. Listen, we love each other. No matter what generation we're a part of. And I know some of us are getting a little bit older, right? But I want to tell you, it is our responsibility to hand this off to the next generation. I heard this phrase long ago, the church is only one generation from being extinct. If we don't hand this off, if we don't pass it off, that's it. Where else are they going to get it? And I know I hear people say, grandparents, great-grandparents say, I'd lay down my life for my grandkids. But would you lay down your preferences? I know. It's like, listen, we refuse to be a selfish consumer church.
Amen.
We want to be able to pass it down. Listen, there are people that sacrifice for you as you were growing up. We want to be a church that sacrifices for this next generation.
Yes.
Amen. The mission of Freedom Church, it should be in your notes, but to bring people far from God, close to God, as we love Jesus and others faithfully. This means you. Listen, it means like, God, whatever you want, Lord, I want to be a healthy church. I want to be and the way that you can do that is by being a healthy Christian. Like, God, I want to grow in you. We talked about Pastor Colleen being a disciple. I don't want to just be a follower. I don't want to just say, oh, I'm a Christian, I'm saved. No, I want to grow deeper in him. Amen. I don't want to be an inch deep. I want my roots. The scriptures talks about let your roots grow down deep in Christ. Because how many of you realize a tree that hits a storm, if the roots are shallow, what's going to happen to it? It's going to fall over, right? And you can't wait till the storms of life to say, oh man, come on, roots grow, right? I'm hitting a trial, and you open up your Bible. I have it upside down. You open up your Bible, and you're looking for something. You're trying to get your roots to grow. No, you've got to do it before the storm hits. Amen. You got to do it before the storm hits. And then when the storms of life come, because your roots are deep in him and it's deep in the body of Christ, then it's like anything the enemy has to throw, it's not going to be able to knock you down. Amen. So that's the church that we want to be. Can I have, so after the service, we're gonna sing one more song. Life group leaders are going to be back at these tables back here. I want to challenge you to sign up for one. And you're like, do you have to be a part of a life group to go to heaven? Absolutely not. But I want to tell you, you will be stronger if you get committed. And listen, we've got those groups. We've got a men's Bible study that's not represented there. A lot of guys come. Our Thursday night prayer time, I believe, is one of our groups where people get together. But they meet several times, different days of the week. Find one that meets that works for you. And listen, if there's not one, there's a table that if you want to host a life group or you want to lead one, put your name. Christina will follow up with you on that, because this is not it. I believe a church that is really committed to each other and committed to him, that's powerful. So I challenge you to go find one of them, get committed. This semester, this fall semester that we're doing it, it ends in the middle of November, just before Thanksgiving. Try it for just 3 months, September, October, November. Yeah. Try it for 3 months and see what will happen with your relationships. Amen? Amen. Can I have everybody stand? This song, I love this song. I always have him lead this, but it's, thank you. I forgot the name of it. But I love this song. Build your kingdom. And as we're singing this song, can we just make it a declaration? How many of you know the church is the only hope for our world? The church really is. We need revival. You know, the things that are going on in our schools, our colleges, you know, our government, we need Jesus. Amen. And when we say the church, how many of you know you are the church? You are the church. Be involved, pray, and let's make this declaration. Afterwards, I'm going to pray, and life group leaders, you guys can go back to your table and sing from there if you